All right, well, my name's Tom. For those that don't know me, I'm just filling in for our pastors this week. As you can see, there's a lot of people out of town. I know one of our pastors is up in Denver seeing family. The other, they're at a conference right now. And Steve, I think, and Kathleen are going to be speaking at the conference here, too. Again, my name's Tom. Thanks for joining us here this morning. I'm excited to be able to share with you guys here. My topic is the blessing of generosity. And I don't know about you guys, but for New Year's resolutions, I don't know if you guys do those every year or not. I haven't came up with any this year. Sometimes in the past, I've enjoyed kind of coming up with one word for the whole year. So in the past, I've came up with words like patience, intentional, compassion, caring, kindness, and others. And so I try and find verses within that as far as the year. So again, the blessing of generosity. And you probably heard that there's been a lot of studies out there as far as how generous people are happier people. Generous people have more joy, peace. And I think this is true in my own life as well. This has been a subject, it's been just a real blessing in our lives and our family. I really learned it from my family, my parents. They're extremely generous, and I want to pass that on to my kids as well. And the questions we're going to tackle this morning are about generosity, are why should we be generous, why generosity blesses and benefits us, why it's hard to be generous, how can we be generous, and what should we give? So we're going to be kind of covering a couple of different topics. But the main thing I want you guys to take away this morning is just that giving is more a matter of the heart and trusting God than it is about the amount and the cause. Say that one more time. Giving is more a matter of the heart and trusting God than it is about the amount and the cause. So for me, I work for the government. Government employee right now, I'm under the shutdown. And so I'm not sure when I'm going to get paid again. We'll see. It doesn't look too good right now. They're kind of in a battle with that. Usually I get paid every 2 weeks, and thankfully I got paid yesterday. But yesterday when I got paid, I was pretty scared about what I would do and how long to have that stretch and if I would get paid again. And so the thought really came to me, should I tithe them this money? Should I give out of this money, or should I try and be smart and hold on to it? Also, as a side note, some people in our church had came up to me, my family, and asked us, hey, if you guys need anything, let me know. And I really appreciate that. We're really deeply touched by that, and we just appreciate the care and concern of people in this church. I think we should be okay. We've got a little savings there for emergencies like this. But since I was a boy, especially when my faith became real to me in college, I started tithing. I was part of our youth group there, and they encouraged us to give money, my parents as well. So I've been given a tithe, just a 10% is what it is, to my local church. And I think it's easier sometimes when you start younger than it is when you start older, because it becomes a habit. But I think with this shutdown, I definitely was wrestling there. I was like, I want to be smart and responsible. I want to be wise to the money I have. But at the same time, I want to honor God. And there was this wrestle in my heart. And then I realized I'm speaking on generosity with you guys this morning. I didn't want to be a hypocrite either. And so maybe this message is for me as I was reaching, kind of wrestling through some of this stuff. And for God to help bring conviction to my own life. And I'm not trying to share that I'm so spiritual, but I struggle and I wrestle in this area too. And I need to continually have faith to trust God in whatever the situation is. And so, I don't know if you guys have been on a mission trip before, but I love going on mission trips. I've had the opportunity to come. That's one of the reasons my family and I moved from Colorado here, was to live our life on mission. So we were packed up when Jenna was 6 months pregnant with our first son, and moved down here, kind of started over, looked for work. I was doing insurance or doing the Liberty Tax Service. I worked for just as far as doing taxes. I sold cars for a few years, and then I got involved with the government. But I think it was just the transition, that heart to go and serve. And I don't know, sometimes the intent when we go and do this mission trip or this mission or whatever it is, we want to bless people. We want to help people. But I don't know, after you've gone on one of these mission trips or somewhere where you've gone and stepped out in faith, you realize that maybe they were blessed, maybe they were encouraged, but man, you were as well. That the blessing you intended to bring to others, really you received yourself. I'm sure they were blessed as well, but you received something from that as well. I think there's a real true benefit in our own lives when we're connected to generosity, and it relates to gratefulness, contentment, and trusting God. I think they work hand in hand, to mention other topics as well. That I don't think it's possible to be grateful and generous at the same time, and sometimes they're in conflict if one is out of sync with the other. And so as far as I think they have that true peace as well. So again, what I want to talk about again this morning is this giving is more a matter of the heart and trusting God than about the amount and the cause. There's a lot of causes out there that are really awesome, but they're not as much as our own hearts. God wants our hearts. Let's pray here this morning and ask God to bless the time. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you desire for our hearts to be yours, God. You desire, God, not to have us make room for you in our hearts, God, but you want all of our hearts. You want our life. So, Lord, I just ask that you'd speak through me this morning, God, that you would use me. Thank you for this people that showed up here this morning. Thanks for the cold weather outside. I ask you to be with those that are sick, not feeling good here this morning. My family and for others as well, God, that you would help them to get better. Lord, we thank you that, God, as this new year is upon us, Lord, that we would just draw closer to you. I pray this next year would be just a season, God, in our lives where we draw closer to you than we've ever been before. I pray that you'd help us to see that you are a generous God, and I pray that would overflow in our own hearts as well as we know you more and more. So again, thanks for this morning. Thanks for the chance to share on this topic. All right, so start off just why we should give. It's in Acts 20:35. So if you want to turn with me or just listen along, we'll go through quite a few verses we're going to cover this morning. So Acts 20, verse 35. It says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive." Do we believe this? It's hard sometimes. I was thinking about my kids on Christmas morning. My parents were here, so it's fun for them to have the grandparents in town. And they'd opened some of their gifts and stockings. But there's one present there, too. It said, "For all the kids, for my parents." And they were pretty excited about that one. I think they're hoping it might be something. And they opened it up, and it was a new video game console. And we haven't done any video games yet. So they've gone to friends' houses and the cousins, and they love playing video games. And I was a little hesitant. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to have them to give their lives to this. But I think in balance, you should be fine. So my parents offered to give them, and they got them a nice video game console. But it was like when they opened that gift, all four kids, it was like, I mean, your favorite team just won the Super Bowl on a last-second play. They were going crazy and jumping around and screaming and yelling, and my dog's barking, like, what's going on out there? I mean, it was like, I mean, they just won the lottery. It was pretty cool. I tried to record it on my phone, but then I thought my phone was on, but it wasn't on. But it would have been fun to show you guys here this morning. But just the excitement in that, too, of receiving that gift. And it was really neat to watch my kids open that gift. But if I would have told them in the moment, I said, "Kids, remember what Acts 20:35 says. It's better to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive." They'd be kind of like, "Sure, Dad, whatever, Dad. This is the gift we wanted. This is, you know, the best thing for us." Maybe they wouldn't say that, but at least they'd think it. And I think sometimes in my own hearts, we can think that too. That it's hard to really realize and think that it is more blessed to give than receive. Sometimes it's hard to receive too, right? Maybe you're used to doing stuff on your own, doing stuff by yourself, and someone wants to help you to be humble enough to accept that help as well. And so I think it can be challenging in this area to really believe that. And so that's why I wanted to start this morning, is to know that it is a blessing in our lives when we're able to give. And so if you guys want to turn with me to Matthew verse chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 21 and 24. Matthew 6:21 and 24. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So simple verse, but very straightforward. This is about our hearts. God wants our hearts. And we need to trust God in this area. And verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And there's this dynamic in that too, that it's so tied to our hearts, and we cannot have two masters. It says, you cannot have two masters. You will be either devoted to the one and despise the other, or vice versa. And God, he wants our hearts. So that's something I think there's a challenge in that, right, with money. We think, well, we need money. We need money to survive. We need money to eat, to live, and all that. But I think it's a matter of the place it has in our hearts as well. That's what I kind of want to cover here this morning. So where their treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just making sure our treasure is wrapped up in what God says. And I don't know, my family and I, my wife's really generous as well. I'm more of kind of the giver and spender in our family. She's more of the saver. She's more of the frugal one. But I think in our life, it's been a good balance. We've had to talk through decisions we're going to make. We want to do this certain thing, or we want to do this. And it's really blessed our communication as we've come to have our hearts united in what we believe God wants us to do. I think it's a big deal in our marriage as far as the communication and just the heart to be united and talk through this too. Over Christmas, when my parents were here, we had that same conversation, kind of talking through the decisions, the causes they're thinking about doing, being part of, and saying, hey, it's more important you guys are united and your hearts are before the Lord. That you're not doing anything grudgingly. You're not doing anything because you feel guilty, but because you want to. Because you want to have a willing heart in that matter. And I want to have that too. We're going to get in some verses to talk about that as well. So I think too, another thing that's really helped me is just realizing it's all God's. We're just managers for Him. It's all His. The cattle on 1,000 hills and everything else. And we're just managers for Him. So I think that's really helped me. God, I want to manage what You've given me and what You've entrusted to me the best I can. If you guys want to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. 1 John 3, 16 through 18. Starting in verse 16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. I love this picture in here too, that so Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And as a response to that, we should lay down our lives and serve our brothers. If we see someone in need, we should help them. And we can show that just by not having lip service, but actually our actions and in truth. I think it's an awesome response we can show to God's love for us. That God laid down His life for us. He died on the cross for our sins so that we can be with Him forever. And a way we can respond to that is when we see someone in need, we can respond in generosity, kind of like the Samaritan, and do what we need to do. And so there's so many different passages, and I don't want this to be a big Bible study here this morning. I just want to try and cover just the heart of what God has here and kind of cover a few different areas. And so there's a lot of different verses I was thinking about sharing, and so I tried to boil it down to just a few. So you guys want to turn with me too to Psalms 37. Verses 21, verses 25 through 26. Starting verse 21, chapter 37. It says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Simple. But I think the contrast in that too, the wicked are borrowing and don't have any money. They don't repay. What happens there? Their house gets taken, foreclosure, whatever happens, right? But the righteous give generously. So it doesn't say necessarily, but I see the contrast within that, is the righteous have money to be able to give generously. Verse 25 says, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. I like that too, that they're always generous and lend freely. It doesn't say that they're going to be blessed. It says their children will be blessed. I think I see that in my own life, as my parents have been really generous in a lot of different areas. And I see that my life has been blessed as a result of that. And I want to carry that on to my kids too, to give them that generous heart of not only the money, but their lives and their time, the resources. I want them to be able to have a generous heart and a grateful heart for what they have. And so I like that. It says their children will be blessed as well. If you guys want to turn with me to Psalm 112, verse 5 through 7 here too. I was just going to do verse 5, and then 6 is so good. And I read 7, I'm like, you can't leave out 7. And so it starts with verse 5. It says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And so I think even that whole chapter you could share, but good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. It doesn't say when good's going to come. I think as we have a lifestyle and a habit of being generous and lending freely, good will come into our lives. And maybe you've experienced that yourselves. As you've been generous, as you've given, good has come into your life. You will not be shaken. You will be remembered forever. You will have no fear of bad news. Your heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And so again, just when I shared this morning with that the first story, just kind of the wrestle I had as far as trying to be smart with my money, trying to be wise. But I wanted to have a steadfast heart that trusted the Lord. I did not want to give way to fear to bad news, or just but to trust God in that too. And so I think I love that promise that good will come. And so it's matter again when, but it will come. We need to stay steadfast and trusting the Lord through that. In Proverbs 11:25 is our next one, if you guys want to turn there with me. Simple verse again, but it says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And we're going to prosper. It doesn't say this necessarily financially, but we will prosper as we're generous. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I like that verse. I don't know if you guys have ever had a really good conversation or a really good night's sleep, and you just feel refreshed. Maybe you had a nice massage or a spa day or whatever it was, and you just feel refreshed. Your home, maybe this last Christmas was refreshing, maybe it wasn't. But I know when we're refreshed, you just feel so good. The same is true when we give and we're generous. It refreshes us. There's something about it that kind of gives us a step, a lift in our step. I think it's really good in that too. So we will be prospered, or we will prosper and we will be refreshed as we're generous. And the last one for this section is Proverbs 22:9. Again, plain and simple, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. A generous man will be blessed. It's kind of the message here this morning as far as there's a blessing as we're generous. It doesn't say specifically what's going to happen or how we'll be blessed, but it's true that we will be in our lives. I think a lot of that comes from the contentment, the gratitude, and the trusting in God we have in our lives. And so, and I think too, it's a matter of just balancing everything too. I'm not saying we have to be only generous, but you know, there's a balance. We can enjoy our money. We can be generous with it and take care of people we love as well and do fun things, go on nice cruises, go on nice trips, do lots of amazing things. It's pretty awesome that God has given us that freedom to do that in our lives. I think too, just it's about our hearts, getting back to that. I think there's a lot of reasons why we don't give too. Maybe you guys have, or you think of a few in your own lives, some roadblocks in your own life that have kept you from giving, or maybe there's none. But I know for myself, when I shared, fear was one of them for me. Fear of kind of wrestling with the decision of, should I give now or should I wait until later, you know? And so instead of that, if you're ever struggling with that, I encourage you guys just to get up in front of everyone and talk about it. It really helps. If you're struggling with a decision, it should be a good act of faith, or a step of obedience, is to get up and talk about that area. I think also different things can be selfishness. I think not giving money a priority, or not making giving a priority, not having a plan or a budget, can be harder. I think comparing ourselves to one another, to others, and also not making enough money to give can be factors in that. And there's a lot of different things. These are not all-inclusive or all-encompassing, but I think they're a good start. So fear, what are we afraid of, right? So for me, it was making sure my family had enough. I was thinking I'm being wise, I'm being responsible, but it was a matter of my head, not my heart. I wasn't trusting the Lord. I was wrestling with this too. And I think that's a good wrestle to think through. Okay, I want to take care of my family. Is it for me, the provider, as you know, as far as my heart to protect my family and watch over them, I was trying to make a wise decision. But again, it was a matter of me trusting myself, my own wisdom versus in the Lord. For me, my go-to fear verse is Isaiah 41:10. Some of you guys have probably heard this before, but I love this verse. It's one of our memory madness verses as well. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And it's a simple verse, but it's like, hey, I got you. I have you. I've got your back. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. So I thought about that verse. I've been wrestling kind of with that verse a little bit too, and I want to trust God. And so I think too, the problem is if we feel like we can't live on 90% of our income, we most likely aren't going to be able to live on 100% either. And so this is where a budget comes in. If you've never made one, I'd love to help you. It's been a blessing in my life. A lot of my life I lived without one. But now since using one, it's really helped. It's helped us in our communication, like I said, just coming from different sides with money. and also in our marriage as well, to be on the same path and kind of go in the same direction. And if you're not married, I think too, it's just having a plan for your money. So I've been part of a few classes with it's called Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, if you guys have ever heard of him, and he's really helped me. And so if we'd love to help you however we can, I think this is a really great place to start. And so if this is you, talk to me afterwards. I'd love to help, or just however I can. I know there's a lot of people in here too that have done a great job with their money, really responsible, and it helps having a plan. So I'm not going to talk about all of these areas, but I think one other area I want to touch on is just comparisons. I think when we compare ourselves and our lives to others, we can easily feel that we're missing out, we don't have enough. I know this is true for me with my coworkers. Man, they constantly have new houses, cars, trucks, trips, and toys. And I'm like, how are these guys, how can they afford all this stuff? So then I think, okay, majority of them have two incomes, which is fine, it's great, but I don't. And probably a lot of them don't tithe or don't give much at all. And most everything most likely has a payment. And so, and there could be other sources of income. I know other guys have other jobs as well and doing things a little differently. And I'm not saying, hey, this is bad, but I'm just saying sometimes it's hard for people to say no. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You're trying to keep up with the person next to you. You work hard for your money, and so you enjoy nice things. And so there's nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with enjoying nice things. But I'm saying sometimes there needs to be a balance. I think, you know, you think the car's getting old, I need a new one, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think for my wife, you know, her phone just died, completely gone, right? And so phones are expensive now. I didn't realize sometimes we like to get, you know, a few older model ones. She went to the Apple store to kind of look at some phones. We're trying to see online. You know, she's like, I don't really want to wait a few, you know. I was like, hey, this Groupon one, you'll get it here next week or after the new year. She's like, I don't know if I want to go a whole week without having a phone. And it's hard now, right? When we're used to these phones and used to being connected. So she went. We had some money saved with this too. And so she went and got a new phone. But it wasn't the, you know, the brand new one. But there's even the older ones are really expensive. Dave Ramsey says it is human nature to want it and want it now. It is also a sign of immaturity. Being willing to delay pleasure for a greater result is a sign of maturity. And so, man, new phones are cool. New cars, whatever, that's the newest, latest, and greatest. But I think sometimes we need to wait and trust God to have the timing to go buy it. If you have the money, go for it. But sometimes it might mean suffering or dealing with issues along the way. Just yesterday, as I was preparing as well, we have an older computer. And I was kind of typing up my notes and going through it, and it kept freezing. And like freezing and like restarting, and it said words not working. I felt so close to breaking the laptop over my knee, throwing it out the window. I told Jenna I wish I could take a bat and beat it, and then after that to burn it. And so I was, sometimes I get a little carried away, but I was like, I am done with this computer. I wanted to go out right then on the spot and buy a new computer. And so, but I realized, hey, probably not the best time. And I'm sure when my next check's coming in with the shutdown and all. So out of pure frustration and irritation, I just wanted to do this. And so instead, I remembered, oh yeah, we have this backup computer that doesn't have any sound, no USB ports work, but hopefully Word will work. And so I pulled out the backup computer, and it worked, and I got through it. But I think it's amazing how, and unbelievable how inconveniences make us so crazy, so irrational and irresponsible at times. But man, it's just that anytime we have to wait, I can struggle with patience. So I know God's working on me in this area as well. And so in this area, you know, I was able to stop, to pause, to pray. And I think from that, it helps a lot. And so again, these are just a few examples in this area. But maybe it's something different for you. Maybe there's a hindrance or something, a roadblock in the way. But I encourage you guys to pray about it, to seek God, and to talk to someone you trust. The next topic we're going to talk through is just how we should give. How should we give? I think this verse is a really important one. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. Kind of, again, covers the heart of the matter here, too. So 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. It says in verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so how many of you guys are farmers? Or been farmers or grown up with farmers? A few of you guys, maybe? Some of you grown some crops before, maybe grown a garden. And so I think about this passage here too as far as farmers. And so if you think about a farmer scattering seed, and you say, I've got a few seeds, I'm just going to scatter a few seeds here and there in this whole garden, this whole field. Maybe you're not expecting to have a bountiful crop, right? You only have a few seeds, you're going to scatter sparingly. But the same is true on the other side. If you scatter generously, you're expecting and hoping for a generous crop. And so I think the same is true with our money, with our finances, with our gifts that we have. As we're able to, the more we're able to contribute, the more we're able to do, God can bless that even more. But again, it's about our hearts. God doesn't want us to give reluctantly. He doesn't want us to give under guilt or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. And if you guys have ever bought something the next day or even later that same day, thought, I shouldn't have got this. Little buyer's remorse. You think, man, I don't know. Maybe I should have waited. Maybe I should have checked the consumer reviews or done something else, or whether it's a car or something else. But I think the same is true here too. God doesn't want us to have giver's remorse. He doesn't want us to give to something and say afterwards, maybe I shouldn't have done that. He wants us to give cheerfully. And once it's given, it's gone, and to trust God with it and have a plan with that too. And so I think God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to have cheerfulness as we give. And this next passage is a little bit longer. It's in Exodus 35, starting in verse 4. So if you guys want to turn there with me. Exodus 35. So we're going to skip around a little bit in this section, starting in verse 4. Well, I love the heart in this passage with Moses. And so it says, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing," this is the kind of a phrase we're going to see throughout. "Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece." It says, "All who are skilled with you, come and make everything the Lord has commanded." So it's kind of the combination here, too. He wants skilled workers to do the work well. He doesn't want just kind of, he's not asking all the kids to bring everything, right? He's saying, hey, I want skilled workers. I want those who are willing. I don't want you to come grudgingly. I want you to come and come willingly. We jump ahead to verse 20. "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him," another translation says, "whose hearts were stirred, came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue or purple or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, or ram skins, dyed red, or hides of sea cows, brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and who had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. And they also brought spices of olive oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord a freewill offering for the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do." So Moses kind of created this vision, and then it doesn't say everyone, but it says everyone who is willing. He doesn't want just able bodies, he wants willing hearts. So I think that's an important thing for me just as far as giving is, and being generous with my life is, he doesn't want just any person. He wants me to be willing and generous along the way through that. He doesn't want just someone, but he wants us to do that. And so a lot of you guys actually were up in Las Cruces a few weeks ago for the Christmas Roadshow. Now, Felicia was handling a lot of the stuff and organizing everyone that was there. And there's a lot of us in the church who were serving there. And it was really fun for my son Ittai and I, to go up and serve. And so we worked with Compassion International, and they sponsor kids. And so it was really cool to do that alongside my son. So during the break, they announced kind of the vision to how you can sponsor a child. And so what we were, and the volunteers, we would go and we had our blue aprons on, said Compassion International, and we had a bunch of kind of pamphlets. Each one has a kid, and then that there's only one, so every pamphlet had a unique kid, and that you someone could sponsor. There's only one of those pamphlets in the world that has that specific child. And so we go around, so my son Itai and I are waving the pamphlets around and seeing who, if anyone wants to give, you know, a little bit more than a dollar a day. It was just, I really brought joy in my heart seeing his willingness to want to serve, to want to sign people up. There's a couple of times he came to me, Dad, they're asking me this and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But it was really fun to do that with them. And it was really neat to see just that. I mean, it seemed like half the church of the Rio was up there too, serving in some way or another. We also got to enjoy part of the concert. It's an amazing concert, and it was really cool just to see the willing hearts of everyone that was there to serve. I really enjoyed that a lot. And so it's really cool seeing that in his heart to be able to be part of that and to help out. The next one here, too, is from Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. So you guys want to turn there or just listen along? So Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And so I think it's just an act of worship here, too, that we can do before the Lord to honor the Lord with our wealth, with the first fruits of our crops. And I was really wrestling with this verse, too, because it says the first fruits. It doesn't say when it's comfortable after the shutdown has ended fruits, right? It doesn't say when it's more convenient to give. It says for the first fruits. It's kind of talking about the beginning, off the top of the money that we have. To honor God, to worship the Lord in that. And again, it just says, hey, there's a blessing in that. Your barns will be overflowed to be filled to overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. And so just the idea of plenty and having enough. We can trust God in this. And I think too that it is true there's a peace that we have when we're able to rest and trust God in this area. The last one here in this section, I think, is Deuteronomy verse 15, back in farther in the Old Testament again. Deuteronomy verse 15, starting in verse 4 through 11, says, however, there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations but borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Rather be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward your needy brother and give him nothing. He may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to him, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in the land. And again, just it's a cool picture of God's heart here too, to be open-handed. To not be close-fisted, but open-handed, to be able to lend freely. And again, just the blessing that he says in this too, that you will be blessed. He's going to bless you in all your work, in everything you put your hand to. There's always going to be poor people. There's a lot of opportunities. There's opportunities to give everywhere we're around. But to have a habit to be of being open-handed towards your brothers and towards the poor and needy in your land. I didn't bring it with me this morning, but if any of you guys are interested, there's a paper written by our association of churches kind of as far as goes into more depth as far as the poor and the needy here too. If you guys would want that, please let me know. I'd love to email that to you as well. It's really been a blessing in my own life. It's like 16 or 17 pages kind of going through specifics about taking care of the poor and needy. And so, but I think too, it's important that we have that picture that, I mean, it's hard, right, when we have a closed fist to be able to give, but when we have an open hand, we're able to do that. I remember a mission trip I took to Honduras a number of years ago with Steve and Marty and a number of other people. And so we went to Honduras, and we just worked with the people. We shared the gospel with a lot of people. We had a lot of fun. I just remember I'd never really been exposed to poverty of that magnitude before in my life. I grew up in Oregon. My family had stable jobs, and I never was in want, ever. And So I think seeing that when I was in college, and I remember leaving, all I had was a pair, I gave everything away. I brought back souvenirs. I brought back a shirt that wasn't mine because I traded a guy. I gave him my shirt and he gave me his shirt and a pair of shorts. And that was all I brought back in my suitcase. I remember crying my eyes out just thinking about how little these people had and how much I did. And I think about too, just the opportunities we had. We saw hundreds of people come to Christ during this trip. It was about a 2-week trip, and I have never in my life seen more people respond to the gospel message as we were there. And I don't know their hearts. I could just, but it seemed like God was really moving in that time. And it's one of the reasons why we wanted to move down from Colorado to here to El Paso, is to see God do something here as kind of a picture of that as well. And so it's just a sweet, sweet time. I think that I was marked by that experience. I know there's probably different experiences we've all had that we've been marked. Maybe it's through a mission trip, or it's through a move, or through an experience, or an interaction, or whatever it is. But there's different things that really touch our hearts and move us. I think sometimes it's a lot harder. It's easier for our hearts to move towards hardening than it is to be softened. And so to remember these things that soften our hearts, allow us to be free and open-handed, really help me. And so getting into the next section, why should we give? So again, we've talked about a few things too, about besides money, we can give of our time and our resources. We can serve and look for opportunities. Maybe your homes are an opportunity, as a resource. You can have a truck to help people move. You can have things or things people borrow from you. I know I borrow Josh's truck sometimes, or borrow different things. I really think of Josh and others here too, as far as being hospitable with what they have, and it's all to serve others. I think too, our words and our prayers. We should let God handle the heavy lifting. We should bring Him before our requests, but let Him and trust Him to do His part. We can give with our words as far as encouraging someone. We can rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We can just sit next to someone and serve them that way. We can give a lot with our time, resources, our prayers, our words as well. But going back to money, I think one of the ways that we can really step out in faith in this is to tithe. And so it's just a 10% of our income to the local church. And I'm not saying I don't benefit personally by this, and so I think it's probably challenging for the pastor sometimes to address this too. But I do believe we should support those crazy pastors. You guys were here last week, we had the kids program, and they talked about that in the program. It was pretty funny. I know all about those crazy pastors, Dove and Steve, and they're full of grace. But I think too, it's an awesome benefit we have to be able to support the work that's going on here and their pastors and their families. So a lot of it's just about ratios, right? 10% to 10th, literally. And we're just going to look at one passage there, two passages, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. One of the, the go-to passage, too, for, you guys probably already know it as far as tithing, is from Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12. And so if you're wondering where Malachi is, the easiest for me is I go to Matthew, and I go back. It's the last book of the Old Testament, so that helps me to find it. Okay. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations you call blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And so again, the storehouse is just kind of the local church. That's what it's talking about as far as the tithe. And by no means am I saying you have to do this. I'm just saying this is an act of, there's no other place in the Bible where God says, test me in this. No other place under no other topic that He says, hey, test me in this. And it doesn't say, too, that you will not be sick anymore. You will be repaid for every dollar you donate, get it back. It says we will be blessed, as we look through those other verses, different things, that good will come into our lives. But I'm not saying it's just, hey, this is, you know, if you trust God, if you tithe, then everything's going to go perfect for you the rest of your life. But I think it'll go better for you than if you didn't. And so I know there's probably people in this room, too, going to have testimonies about how God has provided as they've trusted out. They've trusted God. They step out in faith. Maybe they weren't used to tithing, or maybe they became a Christian later in life. But I can tell you, too, personally, for tithing for more than 20-plus years, it's been, we've never lacked anything. We've been part of amazing church families. God has taken care of us. I can do the same thing for the shutdown as well. I can trust God in it. And so Again, it's all about trusting God. He doesn't need our money, but He wants our hearts. And again, as managers for the Lord, I want to try and manage His resources the best we can. So going back to the idea, so if it's hard to live on 90%, it's probably hard to live on 100% too. But I think it's possible if we have a plan. And the next verse is just Luke 11:42. It says, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." And he's not saying woe because you give, but he's saying, hey, you're giving, but you're missing the heart here. You're missing the justice and the love of God. You're just doing it in as a Pharisee, you know, you're a Pharisee, you're doing this legalistically. You should have practiced the latter. You should have tithed, yes. But you shouldn't have leave the more important things, the love of God and justice, out of it. And so, again, Jesus says here that, hey, yes, it's a good thing to tithe, but make sure our hearts are involved. Make sure we're not doing it legalistically, but we have a willing heart. We need to be full of, you know, justice and loving God as we're doing this as well. And so, I think it's just a simple thing there, too. I mean, so a lot of times in the Old Testament, too, they talk about tithes and offerings. So the tithe is the 10%. Offerings is anything above that. And so it can be whether an offering of this or that or whatever it is. And so, again, it just comes down to a willing heart. And so sometimes people, I think it's can be confusing in that, or tithes or offerings. As far as I understand it, how I've read about it is, you know, this is the tithe, is the 10%, straight off the top to the local church, and offerings, whatever you want, kind of over that. And for our family, we love being able to give. And so one of the things we love being part of is Operation Christmas Child. A lot of you guys made shoe boxes with us this last year, and maybe have for years as well. But it's cool to go shopping for the gifts. We go assemble some shoe boxes and send them off to wherever they go, to a little boy or a little girl throughout the world. And it was neat when we dropped them off at the pickup center that a lot of people said, oh, you're part of the real church. There's been a lot of people dropping off these boxes here. Man, it's really cool you guys did that. It was neat to be able to share that. I think another thing is we enjoy sponsoring kids. That's why one of the reasons we volunteered for that concert up in Las Cruces is that we sponsored two kids through Compassion International from Peru and one little girl from the Philippines. And we try and pray for them daily. And it's just been a cool opportunity to be able to I guess, lay our lives down for them. I mean, we hope someday it would be awesome to go and work with them or to go meet them. You know, I know my son, he says when he gets older, he wants to be a missionary in Peru. And it's pretty cool that so we did this fundraiser, I think a year or so ago, 2 years ago, a garage sale, where it was all Itai's idea. He wanted to have this garage sale and give all the proceeds to this hospital down there in Peru that are really serving the poor. And it was cool to engage in that. And so, but we want to, you know, teach our kids to have a heart of generosity. And the best way is just living it out ourselves. More is caught than taught. And so we want to make sure that they see us living a life of generosity and giving. We talk about them. We look for opportunities to serve in. And we look for random opportunities of giving as well. And so I think for us, this wouldn't be possible if we didn't have a budget. If we didn't learn to live on less than we make and say no to a lot of things. We can say no to certain things so we can say yes to other things. We're not perfect in this, but our goal is to strive to be debt-free and give us more opportunities to be generous as God leads us. And so just some practicals in this too. Again, just going back to just having a budget. Again, if you've never had a budget, think, I don't make that much money or whatever, but I think it can really help. A budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. And so Dave Ramsey had that quote, and I really like that. Then when we have a plan before the month starts, we tell the money where we want it to go instead of wondering where it went. I think sometimes around Christmas can be hard, right? Where did all our money go? And man, we have to pay for all these things or different stuff. And I think challenging, sometimes it can be challenging with that. And so again, just to trust God. If you've never tithed before, I encourage you, challenge you to test God in this area. To step on faith and really trust Him. There's this really book I've been reading, kind of refreshing. It's called The 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John Maxwell. If you guys haven't read any of John Maxwell's stuff, I encourage you to read it. And so he goes through the 21 indispensable qualities, and one of those qualities is generosity. And he said in his points of reflection, the three things there too are to give something away, put your money to work for something that will outlast you. That's what I think we're trying to do with the Compassion International for different ministries that we give to. We want our money to do something more than we can do ourselves. And the last one he said is to find someone to mentor. So I thought about that in giving. I'm like, well, it's true that we can give our time and our resources, and just like Jesus did with his disciples, to make a difference there. There's more than Jesus, you know, taking all the money and giving it. He taught people and had them teach people. Just our idea of discipleship. So find someone to mentor. I like those three things. And so I think it starts just, you know, giving something away. Jenna, my wife, is a lot better at this than me. Sometimes I can hold on to stuff longer than I should. There's the whole idea that if you haven't used it in a year, you should get rid of it. I'm like, what if I need it next year, right? Maybe I didn't need it this last year. I don't want to have to buy that thing again that I should have had. So, but I think, too, it can be just develop a habit of giving things away. It can be a help, just kind of help our hearts with that, too. To sponsor a child, we've got some flyers in the back with Compassion International. I know Bruce and Lori, that's a big thing for them. Maybe some of you guys as well. But it's a good opportunity for us just to trust God and to be able to tangibly help a single child there, too, with that. Just say no to something. Sometimes we say no to certain things so that we can say yes to something more important. Or maybe you give us something up for a certain time and a purpose so you can give to something you really wanted to. Or you plan for a trip or save for a trip. To give something up, you have to have a sacrifice for that to happen. And so I think for me, you know, we're working towards being debt-free so that we have more options, more opportunities to give. As we see stuff that we can trust God, we can move and respond to those things instead of saying, it's hard, I don't have any money. And so I think we're always in the, you know, different seasons there too. But also in the back, we have a literature table, and one of them is on finances. And so if you're kind of, maybe some of this is touched you this morning, it kind of goes through a lot more on specifics of finances. So I encourage you guys to grab one. Steve, I think it is Steve and Deb have printed these up. There's a lot of different amazing resources back there as well. So again, if Jen or I or any of our pastors can help in any of these things, if any of these things have really maybe spurred you on, I encourage you guys to reach out. And so maybe there's, you think too, as we're going into this next year of 2019, maybe there's one area in this generosity or one area you think, I would love to do this. I would love to step out in faith and do this. I'd like you guys just to think about that. If there's one area maybe God is prompting you. Maybe you already, you know, you give, you're doing a lot of different things. We're saying, hey, I'd like to do, maybe it's giving of your time. I'd like to try and volunteer here. I'd like to do this. I'd like you guys to think about that. And again, just reminding you too that giving is more a matter of the heart. It's about trusting God more than it is the amount and the cause. There's so many good and worthy, amazing causes. But I think God wants it to come from a cheerful heart where we can be open-handed, not tight-fisted. It's not under compulsion. It's not when we're unwilling or it's not grudgingly given. Again, thanks for having me share with you guys this morning. And excited about 2019 for what God has. And also, if you're wondering, you know, from the story in the beginning too, I did tithe. I decided I ain't going to trust God here. I feel like in good conscience I couldn't share with you guys today either. More about that, I wanted to trust God and be able to test God in this area. So let's pray, and then the band will be back up. God, thank you for this morning. God, thank you that you are such a gracious, giving God. God, thank you that you don't need anything we have to bring. God, we don't need any. God, if I was to win the lottery today and I won $10 million and I was able to give it all to you, God, you would not need a cent of it. God, what you want is our hearts. God, there's a lot of good we can do with the money in this world. God, we want to be able to do good. We want to be able to bless people. God, but we just want to be able to trust you. God, we want to be good managers for you. I pray you'd help us, God. Because you're such a generous, gracious God, help us to love with your love. God, help us to give what you have given us. Help us to give freely, God. I pray you to help us to trust you in this area. God, if there's any roadblocks in my life, like I was saying earlier with the fear, with trying to take things into my own hands that I know best, I pray you'd help us in those areas, God. Help us to trust you. Help us to let down the roadblocks, let down the things, the hindrances in our lives that stop us. Whatever that is, God, I pray you'd help us. God, thank you for the chance to be here. We ask that you would be moving in our hearts, God, drawing us, God, more and more to you. So thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to send your own Son to die on the cross so that we can be with you forever. God, you're the most gracious, giving God. The greatest gift you can ever give us is their Son. And so thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be with you for all of eternity, God. No matter how crazy this world is sometimes. God, no matter what direction it's headed, what's going on, God, we just lift you up. We thank you that we can be with you. God, there can be peace in you, and someday we'll be with you forever in heaven, God. So thank you again for the chance to be here. And God, just again, just help us, God, to draw our hearts closer and closer to you. So thanks for today.